Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Monday has dawned. Welcome in. We hope you'll stick around. We're here all week, pretty much all of the next week as well. We're here because there's a lot happening, and we appreciate you being a part of our program. Let's get to some headlines before the guests start lining up. And Jaden Daniels won the Heisman. That was expected, a little closer than maybe the odds makers said. Now what? Will he play in the bowl game? Will he be a first-round pick? The answer is we don't know, and yes. Milroe, Beck, and Gabriel head into next year as the Heisman favorites. Who had Jalen Milroe being a Heisman favorite next year back in about September 15th when he didn't play against South Florida? 12-team playoff. A year from today, we will be getting ready for the first weekend. Today, we talk about what it means. We'll talk to an author of someone who's done a deep dive into the mistakes that have been made and how this will change, if it indeed changes anything. Recruiting season, it was a couple of years ago, Aggies had best class in the country. How many are still left? Raise your hand. I said raise your hand. These are the way it looks right now, according to ESPN. Georgia is number one, at least in this. Ohio State, number two. Oregon, how about Dan Lanning? Florida State may not, well, they finished fifth in the poll that mattered, but they're fourth in this, ahead of Alabama. Which Seminole fan wouldn't have liked to have seen that ranking a week ago? Billy Napier, maybe some good news for a guy who's had an early winter of discontent, even though we're in the late throes of fall. Auburn, how about them at number 10? If you count OU and Texas in the SEC, which I do, six of the top 10. Tennessee, LSU, South Carolina, A&M, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Arkansas. I think you can see it for yourself. Missouri, big season, has moved them up to number 37, but they got that big one a couple years ago. Pat Forty joining us. So much to talk to Pat about, but I want to start with something I wasn't even thinking about. I just got finished reading the cover story in SI, the Man of the Year. Pat did the story on Deion Sanders. Pat, good afternoon. Thanks for the time, and I'm really eager to hear about how that shoot went with Coach Prime.
It was an adventure. You know, if you've ever watched photo shoots, you tend to have a bit of a war of wills between the very particular, painstaking photographers and the usually busy, important people. They're trying to get to stand still and look a certain way and get the smoke machine to work just right. And let's just say that Coach Prime kind of had enough after, you know, maybe 25, 30 minutes. And so it ended a little bit early, but he did his job of being magnetic, charismatic, and smiling beautifully.
A lot of people wondered, how do you make a man who had a losing record the man of the year, or the sportsman of the year, I should say. But if you read the article, you'll understand it in terms of the transformational things that have happened on that campus around college athletics. Now, take us inside of there, because some of the people you interviewed, people talking about bridging communities, professors, from the president on down of the school, not of the United States, was really intriguing.
Yeah, well, thank you. And people can certainly disagree with the choice. The reason Deion Sanders was chosen for that exactly was just impact, disruption on the college football status quo, but then just the profound community and really kind of societal impact in Colorado and around CU. He brought such an instant injection of energy there. Applications to the school are up 26%. Donations are skyrocketing. Revenue skyrocketing. The local economy skyrocketing. They were trying to woo a professor, elite level, you know, professor from the West Coast to come join the faculty at Colorado. She was coming out to visit. They asked, is there anybody you want to meet on campus? She said, yes, Deion Sanders. This is a chemist. So, you know, he has a reach and I guess a breadth of relevance that really nobody else in college football has. I don't even think Nick Saban has what Deion Sanders has in terms of just kind of cross-generational, cross-demographic appeal.
Talking to Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated, check out his cover story on Deion Sanders. Speaking of generational, we saw the Heisman on Saturday night. Another transfer wins the Heisman. This is starting to become a trend, is it not?
Yeah, it is. You know what? That's kind of the college football quarterback economy right now. And it is an economy, for sure. The interesting thing with Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, and Michael Penix is all of them were second-year guys. And their second year was a lot better than their first. And I think that's probably not coincidental, that you can go out and get a quarterback and plug him in and he can play right away. But he's probably going to be better that next year, that it's not necessarily just an instant home run. And I think that's kind of instructive there. But there's no doubt. I mean, that's why people are paying so much attention to the portal right now is, you know, the next big-time QB for your school could be out there, and it's not a high school recruit. It's a 20-year-old who's already played some ball somewhere else.
Yeah, but we're a week and 2 days away from National Signing Day. And Pat, I know it's important, but it just doesn't seem nearly as important as it used to be, does it?
No, it doesn't. You know, and that's college football and the calendar and just kind of the changing nature of things. And, you know, I loved it back in the day when it was February and it was one signing day and it wasn't just kind of lost in the hustle and bustle of bowl games and coaches changing jobs and now the portal. So, you know, what's gone is gone, but it's just not the same. There's just not as much impact there. You're bringing in recruits you can be excited about, but are they going to stay? You know, are they going to be developed or are you going to go out and get transfers that play ahead of them? It's a whole different deal now for sure.
Pat, let me ask you about Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, politician turned president, who dropped a bomb on everybody last week at first read. It got universal support. And then the people that really matter started commenting, the SEC commissioner, other commissioners, and their first breaths on the subject were kind of snarky, like, hey, we didn't know about this. How come we weren't given an advance copy? You know what happened last week. What does it all mean?
Sure. And I did find that very interesting. And I would say this is kind of the problem is that all the leaders in college sports who have taken forever to get anything done get mad when they weren't consulted so that this new idea would then take forever to get anything done. Charlie Baker's like, okay, I'm going to go around, I'm going to listen to everybody for several months, but then I'm actually going to take action, and I'm going to do it somewhat unilaterally because I think he probably figured out if you talk to 350 people, it just slows down the process. Now, this is still going to take a long time to unwind exactly how this is going to look, but I don't blame him for basically bypassing most of the college sports leadership because they don't get anything done. So we're going to see this is a pretty bold stroke here. Obviously, it could be, you know, fundamental changes to the way college sports operates and certainly to the economics of it. But I think it was time to take a bold stroke and see if this is going to do a few things. If it's going to energize and incentivize Congress to step in and further kind of help with protections for college athletics the way it is now, and whether it's going to kind of force the continental drift, if you will, within Division I of the haves of the superpowers away from the rest of the powers. So that's kind of the landscape there. We're going to obviously got to learn a whole lot more. There's a lot of devil in the details here, but it's a pretty dramatic effort at making a new paradigm here.
Yeah, so it's all out there. We've heard all the comments. a year from now, will we be any closer? Where will we be?
It's a great question. The NCAA convention can be kind of a waste of time, but I think this year it's going to be pretty interesting in January to see where things are headed. And then, you know, you'll get into the cycle of council meetings and committees and all that sort of stuff that we'll see what they can grasp onto. And then perhaps most importantly, what Congress takes, whether they take the ball and run with it here. So all those things are happening with a backdrop of mounting legal pressure, you know, cases going through, lawsuits being filed, and the NCAA potentially, you know, losing its shirt, and along with it, the member schools losing their shirts. So there's definitely an urgency to this. Let's hope it doesn't take a year to get things rolling, but we'll see.
Pat Forte, great stuff from Sports Illustrated. Beginning our Monday afternoon conversation, we will get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285 right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We're back. John Bacon joining us. The noted historian of the University of Michigan. Haven't spoken to him since the game was put together. Chris Vanini on the CFP and Wilson Alexander on that weekend for Jaden Daniels and what's ahead for BK down on the Bayou. We start with Todd, who is in North Carolina. Hello, Todd.
Hey there, Paul. How you doing?
Okay.
I want to keep you. I know you're a busy man. Had a lot of talk about the northern teams there. I guess you would say the Big Ten. Haven't had a lot of talk about it lately, really, since you pretty much trashed Michigan. I was kind of wanting to know your opinion on that. And if you wanted to eat a little bit of crow there, that'd be great for everybody to hear it. I love the South.
Hey, Todd, if I could jump in here for a second, I picked Michigan to beat Ohio State on ESPN. Is there some crow I was supposed to eat that I wasn't aware of?
Well, I mean, yeah, you talked all the time about how bad Michigan was. I mean,
Todd, slow down 1 second. I didn't say anything of the sort. All I commented on was what the University of Michigan was accused of doing, which was supported by the commissioner of the Big Ten, Tony Petitti, who suspended Mr. Harbaugh for 3 games. And then after a lot of bluster, the University of Michigan cowardly backed away from a public hearing that Harbaugh swore he would go to. Now, you want to continue on? The floor is yours.
No, I just meant from you. I mean, you went on Stephen A. and everybody with your bluster. I mean,
well, I did because I was asked to comment on the nefarious tactics of the University of Michigan in sign stealing, which was supported again, I'll repeat, by the commissioner of the Big Ten Conference, which Michigan is a member of and has been for a number of years.
They all do it, Paul. Come on.
No. So I don't mean to be snarky here, but the person that should be eating crow, Todd, is you.
Oh, come on now. Everybody's watching now. Really? You had a chance to say something about it. You never did.
I haven't.
I'm
really,
holding you accountable.
I'll have plenty of Todd,
have
you're just, you're sad. You ever had, Randy, a commode that just, you can't stop from overflowing, and eventually
come
the waste
on,
comes
Paul.
To the top? That's what this
come
guy.
Come on, Paul.
Come on, what? What do you want me to do?
You got to say something. You ain't said nothing about it until now. Nobody's held you accountable. Let's
Held me accountable for what?
You're Alabama.
For saying that Michigan cheated? There's
come
nothing
on.
To be held accountable for.
Oh, okay. Whatever. You talked a good game for a long time. We never heard you say one thing about it lately. Until somebody talks to you and
really?
Calls you
I
up
am,
on it.
Have you ever been this law? I mean, I feel like somebody's
you're keeping the phone
somebody,
on. So it
somebody
slid
me from LSD, and I'm hallucinating here because I'm not
no,
hearing any sense.
You can disconnect me like you do normally everybody
no,
else.
Hey, my hands are right here. You can talk until you're tired of
Paul,
talking. What else do you have to say?
Well, we love to hear you, and I do. I think you've got good analysis. But let me tell you. Everybody knows you didn't do anything but degrade Michigan and the Big Ten all the way up until all of a sudden.
Never,
you're in the
by the way, Todd, I've never, I don't know why one of us can't talk about themselves at the same time. I've never trashed Ohio State. I happen to think it's a great school. I'd be proud to be accepted
like
into Ohio
not,
State. I think Ohio State's
you know,
a very
I love
honest
the network.
School.
SEC is great, but when you start
I
putting yourself
praising Ohio
involved
State.
And dogging the Big Ten like you always do, then you know you got to be accountable for that, Paul.
Todd, I've asked you three or four times to come up with something other than I've responded
Paul.
To your charges. Can you,
well, we're just saying,
Todd, slow down, okay? Can you name me a specific situation where I've been wrong about the University of Michigan?
Okay, go for it.
I just asked you a question.
Not just them.
What to a high degree
no,
or low degree of specificity, give me an example of where I've been wrong about the University of Michigan.
You
I said, hold on.
Them
I said its fans were
the
most insecure the and sniveling group
no,
of people on the face
no,
of the earth. I think I've been proven right here.
You degraded the Big Ten in Michigan long before you found out the fact.
You,
now
can
that
you,
Alabama,
I hate to sound like
they got to play the Big Ten.
Can you cite
now
me,
all
and,
sudden,
Todd? All
like
I'm
it.
Asking is give me a name and date and the subject.
It's all on record, Paul.
Well, I know it's on the record because I know what I've said and I know what I haven't said. Because you don't know the record because you're just bloviating right now.
Why? Why would you say that? I'm a fan calling
true.
In. I like the show. I like the show.
I've asked you three times.
You do a great
Todd.
Job, Paul.
Todd, I know all that. Thank you. Todd, I'm asking you for a specific incident of me being wrong about Michigan. That's all.
You have been wrong on Michigan because you kept telling everybody that they don't deserve to be in the playoffs because they had sign stealing.
Well,
am I wrong about that?
Will you answer me one question, Todd? Can you name
sign stealing?
Todd, slow
you
down,
told
man.
It over
you,
and over
Todd,
they shouldn't be in the playoffs.
You're showing your prejudice by refusing to be quiet while I'm asking you a question. One question, Todd. That's all. Okay. Can you name me the number between 1 and 13, the amount of games this year that Jim Harbaugh has been suspended for?
Because.
No, give me the number, Todd.
At least I would say 6 games.
I don't think I would say. The answer is 6 games. Jim Harbaugh was suspended for 6 games. Why was he suspended for 6 games?
Because of you and everybody else that thought that he didn't deserve to be the coach of Michigan.
Todd, whatever one reason, more time, you know. Okay? One more time. Why was Jim Harbaugh suspended for six games?
Let me ask you this.
You can't answer
how
it,
many,
can you? You can't answer
how many people do you have helping you out?
Todd, not only do you not know what you're talking about,
Todd,
not only do you not know what you're talking about, you committed the cardinal sin of being a caller to the show. You're boring. So let's go to someone more interesting. Bash is next.
Hey, Paul, how's it going today?
Maybe I was wrong about that. Can we get Todd back? Go
ahead,
Bash.
Come on. I'm just starting off. We made peace 2 weeks ago, Paul. Let's not start off on a bad note today. But that was absolutely brutal. It made me think, God, those Missouri fans that keep calling in and say, you don't keep talking about us, Paul. You don't talk about us enough. This guy makes those Missouri fans sound like orphans of the SEC, which is exactly what the Missouri fans are. I'm sorry, but that's until you prove yourself of anything, you will forever be the orphans of this conference. But on to a serious subject, Paul. Alabama is less than 20 days away from making history and winning our, let me count, 4 national championships in the college football playoffs, winning the most out of any team in the college football playoffs. And then on top of that, we are going to be making our appearance into the playoffs the 8th time, more than anyone else has made an appearance in the college football playoffs. And if anybody thinks that that's going to stop next year when this expands to 12 teams, go ahead and tell the audience, Paul, some bad news.
Thanks, Bash. Really appreciate that that argument there. How about Justin up next? Hello, Justin.
Hey, Paul, a long-time listener. I think it's the third time I've called in. First of all, I want to just say Todd needs to put the phone down. I think his dementia medicine wore off, and somebody let him get a hold of the phone.
Is that a condition when you simply can't stop talking?
I think he's got diarrhea in the mouth, too, pretty bad. Yeah, he's a Michigan
medical,
fan.
I don't think you need an ENT for that.
No, a Michigan fan, he didn't sound like a Michigan fan. It sounds like he's from the South, so he must be one of those bandwagon fans that just decided to become a fan this season. So hence why he didn't know any of the information about the program. But to pivot on that, Paul, I kind of wanted to go back into the Florida State thing for a second because I'm a big Bama fan. And I'm sure you're familiar with this interview that you gave, but I'm going to quote it. I felt that it was too difficult to win through the SEC to win a national championship. I felt like our best route would be to go through the ACC, and I don't know if we could have made it through the SEC. Now, I'm pretty sure you're probably familiar with who
that was Bobby Bowden. Yeah.
Yeah. So how should a program that is petrified of the Southeastern Conference, and it is on record in the past to basically admit that, have any business in the playoffs, any business whatsoever, and to this day still petrified of it? I mean, there's just they have no basis of argument.
Justin, in fairness to Florida State, I mean, they have played a lot of SEC teams. They've had success, and that's wonderful. It has nothing to do with the playoff this year, because the best SEC team they played this year was what, the fifth best team in the league. That's not a very good argument. What I find interesting about FSU, and I don't know if I blame them as much as just people in general, because all over the weekend, everywhere I went, somebody was like screaming at me, no matter where I was, how could you say Alabama deserved to be in? And I'm like going, I guess I don't know. I mean, I don't follow college football. Maybe you do. And these are just lay people who have, I went to a Christmas party Friday night, and the host of the party started yelling at me before I even walked in the door. She said, How can you deny those kids? And I wanted to ask her, I said, for $100, I was her guest. I didn't want to ask her, could you name me the head coach at Florida State? And I guarantee you she couldn't have. But that's just the way it is.
I don't think they could. Even at full strength. I mean, I know if they were at full strength, they would have gotten in. But even at full strength, I don't think they could beat Missouri. I'm biased. I'm an Alabama fan, but I believe
I don't want to be that guy because you can't throw up point spreads. But right now, Florida State's a two-touchdown underdog to the number two team in the SEC, Georgia. Yes, I said it. And it would be about the same against Alabama. And, hey, there are upsets every day. Disney movies are made, David versus Goliath. But Georgia will beat them like a drum in a couple weeks. We'll take a short break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Back, and it's great to have all of you here. Ronnie is in Texas. Hey, Ronnie, welcome in.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to call and I tell you, man, I appreciate your stance on Alabama. I've been a huge Alabama fan ever since I've been a boy. My uncle Duff Morrison played defensive back for Bear Bryant in 61 national championship.
Oh, wow.
And I love Alabama, what they stand for. And I don't think there's very many teams outside of the SEC that can take the rigor of an SEC schedule year in and year out. It's tough. So
yeah, no,
I just...
Ronnie, I think you're right about that. Boy, I've heard some... I've talked to a number of those guys that were on that. For those who don't know, the 61 team, I believe, was Coach Bryant's first national championship team, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
So that's a very special group of people.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And like I say, I've been a huge fan of Alabama, and I appreciate you keeping your stance solid, you know, and Alabama being deserving where they are. I agree.
Well, Ronnie, let me offer something to you. A year ago, I was silent when a lot of people thought Alabama deserved to be in because I really just didn't believe it. I did mm-hmm. believe it this time, so I started a couple weeks early, and I think a lot of people believe that with a couple of other folks that we were part of some cabal, but it's much easier to go on a program like this or Stephen A. or any other situation and argue when you believe it. People that watch politicians know when they believe in something and know when they don't. Only the great politician can convince you that he believes something or she believes something when they really don't. I'm not that good. So. I watch this team every year. Like a lot of you, I was ready to give up on them after mm-hmm. 2 or 3 weeks. And then I saw how hard they worked to put it back together again and how it all came back in a number of really close calls. That's a great story, one we haven't seen very often at Alabama.
That's exactly right. I mean, people, you know, we've had our downtime. I mean, look after Gene Stallings. We went through a period where – we couldn't do nothing right.
No, listen, I know that.
You know?
I remember then, Ronnie, back in the day, it was a big deal. I'm trying to remember what year it was. I think it was, I mean, I remember going to Nashville for a Music City Bowl with Mike Dubose, and I thought it was a big deal. Alabama was in a bowl game. It was on a Wednesday night, raining and cold, and they got destroyed by Virginia Tech, but it was still progress as opposed to where the program had been the previous year. I mean, we've all been through that. What, six straight losses to Auburn. So what's happening now is just Alabama's rarely been that underdog team that had to fight, even though they started the season ranked high, they still had to fight their way through it. Thank you very, very much. Really good to hear from you. Ken is up next. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great.
All right, Paul. I mean, I've been kind of disturbed all weekend, and I'm an SEC guy. Love Georgia Bulldog, and I can tolerate Alabama. But I'm so sick and tired of fans calling, and all of you guys thinking that there's no other conference but the SEC.
Well, there's not.
Paul, if everybody could be in the SEC, then we probably wouldn't have a football program. And let's not forget, Clemson beat Alabama twice.
But Ken, last week, Paul, I'm not sure I agree with you on that.
Well, you don't have to. This about your show.
Do you remember
have to agree.
I don't remember those Clemson games.
Well, see, Paul, here's my problem.
To get them out of my memory. I'm okay now.
But last week, we're not just talking about SEC. We're talking about the student athlete that comes out every Saturday to play their best, and we get on TV and make these guys feel like they're not even worthy.
Hold on a second.
Come on, Paul.
I agree with you that there are other leagues than the SEC. I think you have to be fair about it. They're not as good as the SEC, but there are other leagues. I'll stipulate that. I think the Big Ten had two outstanding teams this year. The ACC had one really good team. I said good. Texas was fantastic in the Big 12. And frankly, the most entertaining league all year was not the SEC. It was the Pac-12.
But, Paul, I'm going to say this, and I'm definitely going to go waiting on my granddaughter to get off the
book. But having said all that, they're still not in the same – collectively and cumulatively – I'll take the top five of the SEC against anyone because we're talking about depth, speed. The Big Ten doesn't have that. None of the Pac-12 may have had better quarterbacking, may have had better quarterback play top to bottom, but guess who won the Heisman?
Well, Paul, let me ask you one question while I go.
Best team in the SEC. How about that?
But looking at a team like Florida State, don't you think they'll fit right in if they went to the SEC conference?
Yeah, I think Florida State is capable of playing in the SEC, sure. Now, the better question is, if Florida State was in the SEC this year, where would they have finished?
I think they probably would have finished about the top four.
Well, okay, I think you're right. I think they would have finished after Alabama, after Georgia, after Missouri, after Ole Miss. I'd say Florida State would have finished fifth in the SEC this year.
That's fair. That's very fair.
So, Ken, stop for just a second.
Okay.
I feel like I'm being benevolent. I feel like I'm being magnanimous. Florida State would have been the fifth best team in the SEC. So if that is true, then don't tell me they're one of the top four teams in the country and they deserve to be in the playoffs, okay? We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Jason is up next as we continue here Monday afternoon. Hello, Jason.
I'm doing great, Paul. How are you this afternoon?
We are well. Thank you very much.
You know, this weekend was rough, Paul. We of course, the Army-Navy game was on. That was entertaining. But without football, this weekend is like you peak, and then all of a sudden it's like you're just cut off cold turkey. Did you feel that way this weekend?
It is a hard ending. You're right.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm collecting receipts today, Paul. I've watched your show for decades, and I'm retired now, so I watch it all the time. I'm here to collect a receipt from L. Duncan.
Oh, my.
She has made me, man, hit her. Now, Griff, I'm friends with Griff on one of the social media sites. Griff's funny. I think Griff could be, like, sit in for you one day. Because, see, I think he's that entertaining.
Oh, my goodness. That is such a good idea to get Griff in here. To argue that Georgia still deserved to win the SEC.
Yeah, you just got – Griff's like a fan that's just – like, he's just so full of bulldog, you know? He's annoying sometimes, but he's funny. But L. Duncan was on your show not long ago, and she said she was looking forward to making the three-peat by beating Bama in the championship game. Well, that didn't happen, so we need to get her back on here. And one quick question else, Paul. When Texas and Oklahoma officially join the league, is that in the summer? And
will officially join July 1st.
Okay, so on July 1st, can we expect some kind of special on the SEC network?
Oh, yeah, no, I am not privy to that because I'm not really a senior executive here. I'm just a
– Yeah, I know,
worker.
Paul. You're just a good old guy on TV.
I am. Don't tell anybody otherwise or I have to kill you. But I hear there's going to be a lot happening around their introduction.
So I can't wait, but I think they're going to – it's going to take them a year or two. I know Texas is up there right now with Stark and all, but we'll see when they join the league. I'm looking forward to it, not just in football but in all sports, especially like baseball and softball.
And remember, too, Jason, Wednesday night, and you'll start hearing about this, the actual schedule for next year will come out. We already know the SEC games. We just don't know when they are, but it's going to be interesting to see the schedule. Because, I mean, there are some there's some natural places on the schedule that we are used to that won't be there anymore. Uh-huh.
Yeah, like Bama playing Oklahoma the week before Iron Bowl.
Well, yeah, that's the rumor.
Hey, I want to give you another – I want to give one more shout-out. Tell I-Man – he calls up here every day, and he has a – I bet I-Man has a Nick Saban poster on his wall. If he wants one, I can give him one because that's all he ever talks about. He is by far the worst one you got. Now, my favorite caller is Jerome. Roll Tide, Jerome. Roll Tide.
Thank you very, very much. Oh, man, that was funny. Let's check out Jason Augusta. Hello, Jace.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, a couple things real quick. I mean, Todd from North Carolina, the Michigan fan. He's full of more crap than a doo-doo gun. I mean, he couldn't even answer your questions. Another thing I had was the transfer portal. We're losing like 10 players from UGA. But what do you think about Kirby getting ATN from Florida? I've heard that is a solid get right now. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, Jace, that rumor's all over the place. And you know, should that happen, that would be significant. We're talking about a difference maker at running back. And not only would it be a big deal for Georgia, what a horrific loss that would be for Florida to lose one of their best players. Keenan is up next. Hello, Keenan.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
A little biased, but I'm really sick. I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here. I'm sick of the ignorant Michigan fans, so don't understand right from wrong. And I'm a Big Ten fan also. I live in SEC country, but I'm a Big Ten fan still, and they have set a precedent. So the University of Michigan has set a precedence now, I believe, that you can cheat and get away with it as long as you got a scapegoat, as long as you got the money in the right places. It's not the school, it's boosters. I don't understand that. But anyways, I was wondering what you thought about who's going to be replace Ryan Day as head coach of Ohio State next year.
Well, it's a coveted job. I don't know. But I agree with the premise that if he doesn't win that game next year.
Well, he hasn't. He hasn't.
I think
future tendency.
I said this about Ryan Day a couple of weeks ago. He would be smart just to get out of there. And he can get a job. He could get an NFL job tomorrow. Hey, thank you for the call. I think I'm a good. You have to wonder. I thought the last 2 years he had enough talent on that team, especially with C.J. Stroud, to win the whole thing. Thank you for the call. And Scott is in Mississippi. Hello, Scott.
Happy New Year.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
Well, go right ahead.
I just wanted to say that football season's over. The SEC championship is the national championship. And as far as I'm concerned, the best team this year to watch was Ole Miss, because they did good for the first time in about a zillion years.
Well, you say that, but weren't they in the Sugar Bowl about 3 years ago?
Yeah, but they hadn't been anything. But I'm a huge SEC fan. I love Alabama. And that win against Auburn, I never felt like they were going to lose, even when it was 4th and 30-1.
You know what? I kind of had the same feeling, because how many times have you seen Alabama do that, especially to Auburn?
I know. It was a good game, though.
Well, thank you for the call. I mean, they've done that to Auburn, two straight visits to Auburn, where the odds of Alabama winning were under 1%, and they pulled it out. We'll take a short break. John Bacon in the next hour. Many more guests to come. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.